Average Podcast. News, tips, and deep thinking. From code to common ground, about your average podcast. Where fresh AI is found, about your average podcast.
Funny thing, I saw on Twitter too, there's a reference to... this is why your energy bill is going up 30%, and it was a picture of Meta's chat with a horse AI. So people can chat with a horse is why you can't afford your electric bill anymore.
I'm Michael McCrory, product owner, automation specialist, and AI enthusiast in state government.
And I'm Jill Baber, former data scientist who loves connecting the dots between numbers, policy, and people.
We're here to cut through the hype and make AI make sense. This is
Bot Your Average Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bot Your Average Podcast. This week, we got an update to a new story we talked about a little bit ago and some other interesting happenings in the news that we'll get into. But all open today. How are you doing, Jill?
I am doing pretty well. It's unseasonably warm, so...
yeah, enjoy it. This winter is not going to be very pretty, from what I hear. And the rising cost of electricity probably won't help us this winter. That's it's called foreshadowing for a topic later.
That was smooth.
Yeah. I'm trying to get good at my segue game. But first, up in the news, we have an update to the Albanian AI minister. They actually rolled out the hologram of Dyla in front of the Albanian parliament. So there's videos out there. You can go check those out yourselves. I don't know. What do you think about it, Jill? You were convinced it was a real human, but everything I read seems to say it's a hologram, but I'm still not.
I think it is lies.
I don't know if I'm becoming a boomer because it's getting harder and harder to tell, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what, like, it made me feel a little self-conscious when I was like, look, it's a person. But she's not symmetrical. Like, her face, it's flatter than her neck, which it should be for someone who's a little bit older. And I feel self-conscious that they, like, do they match? Do they not match? I don't know what I'm saying about myself.
I keep looking at the clothing, like, to see if, like, the physics interact, and they do.
Yes.
But I don't know if it's just really good now. She doesn't move a lot beyond the hands and the face is what it seems like, so that kind of tips me off that it's AI generated, but I don't know, it's getting harder to tell, and it's going to be weird in a year when it's even harder than it is now.
So to open the show, reality is, we're not sure what reality is at this point.
Didn't really mean to open on an existential crisis, but that's where we're at. I mean, we've come a long way from, I keep going back to the Will Smith eating spaghetti, one of those first AI videos that looked hilarious, and now it's getting to the point where I'm really having to question and scrutinize every single video I watch to see if it's AI or not.
We should eat spaghetti next time we record.
Ooh, we should do an A-B test. We'll release one version of the podcast where we're actually eating spaghetti and one where it's AI generated. it's getting really hard though. I've noticed recently, just as I'm browsing Twitter, there's a lot of those night cam videos. Like, I think might have mentioned before, the ones with the bunnies on trampoline. There's becoming more and more of those, like, Ring doorbell night cam videos of just random things. One was like a dog protecting a herd of sheep, and it's somewhat obviously AI, but if you're not, like, paying attention, those posts were getting like millions of views, and it's just, I don't know, AI engagement farming must be lucrative. I know we're entering the era of AI slop, but I wonder, have you been noticing more and more just like AI stuff slop on your feeds?
Yeah, the place that I actually notice that bothers me is advertising. Like, even just like, I'm not going to say print ads, but, you know, ads on computer screen. Like, there's so much AI. It just looks, and a lot of it isn't even good. It's just kind of a, like, a mediocre existence
I saw someone complaining about how they were a graphic designer. They'd only been in the field a couple of years, I think, but they're already losing their jobs and like freelance stuff, just for local businesses to AI. When I went to the Bismarck street fair, the downtown fair, I noticed there was a couple banners people had on their food stands that I was pretty clear, like that they had a, I think it was the Boy Scouts or the Scouts had an A. I'm like, oh, those characters look definitely AI made on them. Not to put
I
them on
mean, it's
blast,
free.
but it.
All of our stuff is AI made, or
You're
theme
not supposed to
song,
say
or
that. No, and I mean, I get it. It's a lot easier and cheaper just to type in a prompt than to hire someone.
I had the money, I would hire someone. I mean, I think that was the whole idea of AI is that, regular people could use it. It just sucks that everybody is using it.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd love to hire an actual artist to do our theme song. It doesn't help that our podcast is AI themed, so it makes sense to do it as
don't
part
think
of
we
the
could sing, just
as
the two of us.
no. No.
Didn't notice that at the street fair. Huh.
I looked at it and I'm like, oh, that's like that art style was like classic ChatGPT art style. But you're right too. I've been noticing a lot more in like ads. It's been getting kind of bad. I know YouTube, speaking of news, they're gonna start integrating VO 3 into YouTube Shorts and encouraging people to start actually putting in more AI videos in YouTube Shorts, which I mean it's already kind of a problem, so I don't know, just more of the slopification of the internet.
I wonder if it'll just bleed into everything.
I'm sure it will. I do wonder when we'll start seeing more like AI advertisements on general TV, like on some of the more regulated stuff, if we're gonna start seeing more and more AI there eventually. That's when I feel like that's when things will start really going downhill. I don't know. Like there's just no standard anymore if that happens.
Yeah, because it's just saving a buck. Like, do we really need to? If we're spending all of our money on data centers, though.
Yeah, the more and more money on data centers. I mean, we can jump into that. I don't know where Jill went. But we should also talk about NVIDIA. Okay, I'll just.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm like,
I
we
forgot
can.
to plug in my computer.
Oh, I'm like, we can cut there. No, let's talk about NVIDIA's $100 billion investment into OpenAI.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. That's a lot of money to put in AI.
Yeah, and it seems like it's just so OpenAI can pay NVIDIA back for all
So
their
they're going to buy
GPUs
their
they're
chips from
buying.
them?
Yeah, and then what was the circle like? I forgot how Oracle fits in, but it was like so OpenAI can pay Oracle, or Oracle can pay NVIDIA too. it seems just a bunch of people paying themselves over and over because we've hit kind of that saturation point with AI that
Well,
it's
don't like
just.
six people have all the money? Like, who
I
else is
mean,
gonna pay them?
yeah, that's true. Especially now that I might get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure they can't sell AI chips in China anymore.
Yeah, I
There's
heard that.
certain GPUs they can sell, I think, but they're high-end AI chips they can't. So that actually puts. I know Huawei has a 3-year plan now. They're saying that they're gonna overtake NVIDIA now within China.
Ooh.
They plan to produce more powerful GPUs. So that'll be interesting if China's Huawei surpasses NVIDIA, especially with them being banned now.
Well, that'll be a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be cool though if it meant like competition in the market and drive down prices, because NVIDIA kind of has a stranglehold on things right now.
It definitely is a market that needs some more competition.
Yeah, because they're just raking it in, and I don't know. It'd be nice if the common man could get their hands on some better hardware. And
Why isn't there more competition? Like, I'm not that techie, and so I've always like, what are they doing that's so special?
they're kind of the only game in town, to be honest. I mean, they're just that many years ahead of anyone else. Huawei's probably the closest to catching up, but I mean, Intel's been a mess for, I don't know, decade now. Like, that's why NVIDIA also invested heavily into Intel, and they announced a partnership to produce APUs. So
That's good for Intel.
you'll probably be seeing NVIDIA and Intel like APUs in laptops in the next couple of years. So that'll be good, but we kind of have a duopoly almost between AMD and NVIDIA right now. I mean, it's always been like that in the GPU market. Intel tried to break in, but they really couldn't. I could go on and on about that for a while, but yeah, NVIDIA is just leagues ahead in the AI game.
That's how you make the money, I guess. That's how you can have $100 billion to spend on something.
It's all Jensen Huang needs to pay for all his snakeskin leather jackets. I don't know if you've seen them. He always has snakeskin leather jackets.
I've never quite understood the style of the
CEOs?
tech. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, when you have
Maybe they
that
could
much
just be
money,
themselves.
when you get that much money, you can just kind of, you gotta find a way to, you can just be as weird as you want.
Guess. They just seem like they're trying so hard. Everybody except for Mark Zuckerberg.
Do we want to talk about the Meta Ray-Ban displays and Zuck at Meta Connect 2025?
Yeah, I do think maybe he should consider some flashier clothes to detract from his demos that go sideways.
I mean, I do feel bad for him having to give live demos before. Stuff will always go wrong, but it did remind me of Steve Jobs, back, I think, with the iPhone 4, asking people to turn off their Wi-Fi, because Zuck blamed the Wi-Fi too. That was pretty funny, full circle moment, how things haven't changed over the years. But
We're still pushing product that's not ready.
yeah, no, I am impressed though how quick they're getting this to market this year though. Like, I thought it'd at least be another 3 years before we had heads up displays on glasses in that kind of form factor. But as you can see, the result of trying to rush something to market, it's, I don't know. I was really excited for it, but gonna have to wait to see the reviews first before spending $800 on them. That price point isn't too bad though. I was expecting like $1,200, $1,300 for them.
That's not what I spend on sunglasses.
No, I do kind of see it going. That's kind of what people have been speculating will replace smartphones eventually, is we'll just have all the
Wearables.
wear. Yeah, we'll have wearable head-mounted displays. It'll be interesting. Someone brought up a good point too. I think it's MKBHD on YouTube, the YouTuber. He was like, "What would be more rude, if you're having dinner with someone? Is it more rude for them to just glance at the corner, just like glance down at the corner of their right eye, or pick up their phone or look at their watch to read a text?"
What if they just did none of those things?
I mean, yeah,
But yeah, I get it.
but
I mean,
now
it,
if anyone looks
yeah.
down to like think, you're gonna be wondering, are they like paying attention or are they reading a text, scrolling Instagram?
I worry about if it makes the tech not accessible for a lot of people, though. I mean, there are still people who don't have internet in their homes in the United States. I mean, not that many, but there's still. Well, actually, it is quite a bit, isn't it? I haven't seen the stats recently.
So it's more than people think, though.
It is. I think it was it was half and then it was down to 20.
Still quite a bit.
I have to back check myself.
Speaking of accessibility, though, it is interesting, especially for the deaf community, seem to have a interest in it with live captions. That seems like a really cool use case, is being able to just have live captions on everything, or live translation.
It is super nice that a lot of what we have is stuff that either was originally designed for people who were like visually impaired, otherwise impaired, and is now stuff that is available to everybody.
I'm really excited for just live translation, just to have subtitles on things. Like, going to Europe with that would be really handy, not to look like an absolute tourist trying to translate things on your phone.
It'll just be like looking weirdly at your glasses.
Just look up and around, trying to. The use case they demoed, though, like the guy out of a museum or something, and there was a plaque, and then it just auto translated the plaque in front of him. I thought that was kind of cool.
That is neat.
The one thing I didn't like about it, though, is it seems like it's locked down to Meta apps right now. So you can only use WhatsApp with it, which here in the States, like, I don't know anyone who uses WhatsApp. I know it's like popular all around the world, except here.
I use WhatsApp.
All right. I said not that many people. Exceptions to the rules. But I mean, honestly, though, most people use iMessage.
I use it because it was what worked when my brother went to Europe. So I had it to message my brother.
That's the only case. If people know people outside the country like it, because everywhere else uses WhatsApp.
I did find the numbers. It's approximately 8 to 12% of American households don't have internet. So it's down a lot. I know that it dropped quite a lot during COVID because we sent everybody home.
Oh, it makes sense. That's still 8 to 12% of the population, still like a lot, just to not be online. Yeah, it is interesting, though. Like, I hope, though, with time, this, like, will become more and more accessible, because $800 is a lot right now, but hopefully it could get down to, like, a $200 price point. That could be a game changer for a lot of people, just having auto-translation and live captioning.
That would totally change some people's lives. I'm really excited about it. I think it'll make things a little bit more inclusive.
I hope so, too. I do worry about having a computer on your face 24/7. And yeah, even that interaction, if you're, I mean, smartwatches are annoying, but at least you have to, like, raise your wrist. I don't know. Just, like, having a constant, like, stream of information into your eye. I know you have
what
to, like,
look
down.
What does that
do
with your brain?
Yeah. I know you have to, like, look down and glance at it, but I just wonder about, I don't know, information overload, kind of. We're already blasted with so much notifications from our phones. It seems like it's not really helping the problem.
Honestly, I'm worried about vomiting.
Why?
I'm a very motion sick person.
Oh, it helps that it's fixated display. The next generation, though, I think that will be a display in both eyes. So that's going to be actual true augmented reality is what it seems like is coming next. So that'll be cool, because then it's like, it's not just a display you're looking at, it's projecting things out into the world.
That's really interesting to me, because the way that our brains work, like, it's already kind of augmented reality. Like, we don't see the world as it actually is. We see it as our brain approximates it. That, I wonder if it's any different or it'll change anything.
I don't know. I feel like there's some cool use cases. Like, I know Google Maps has their, I mean, you have to hold up your phone, but they have their augmented reality navigation for, like, street view. It's great to have just a giant arrow in front of you. I was using that in St. Paul. It was like a giant arrow in front of me guiding me to the nearest Chipotle. You just hold it out in front of you and there's a giant arrow on the street and it tells you which way to go. I mean, that's kind of fun. I think navigation could be really cool with that.
That does sound fun.
And I know these Meta Ray-Ban displays, they have Meta Maps, so it kind of does that within the display, which is kind of cool, but I don't know how much I trust Meta Maps to get me where I need to go. It'll be interesting though, is like, 'cause I mean, Llama is fully integrated. Meta AI is fully integrated into these heads-up displays, so that's gonna be kind of interesting. Like right now, I have to be very like intentional about using ChatGPT when I pull it up. But if something's just there 24/7, I wonder how. I'm curious of how that would change how I interact with AI. Just having it that much more accessible on my face without
Oh,
having to
definitely.
push a button even or open an app.
Well, how many people just ask their Spot or their Alexa?
Yeah, those all kind
I
of
don't,
suck, but
but
yeah. 'cause I know like if you do I won't say it, the S word from Apple, like it will then like route to ChatGPT, but I never I don't know. I don't really use that because I'd rather just go directly to ChatGPT than have a route. But I
that
still have
makes
to
me think.
take out my phone and do it.
Yeah. That made me think of this when I worked for the state and we were testing Copilot and we were trying to understand how the excuse me, how Copilot works in meetings. And actually it wasn't Copilot, but the Microsoft Teams transcription, which is a different AI, playing with that. And so we went in, and we swore at each other, you knew about this project. And we propositioned each other, used racial slurs, all that. And it was so fascinating what it understood and what it didn't. And what it did with it then, because sometimes like with racial slurs specifically, some of them it didn't know. Some of them it would like X out. Like it would
Yeah.
just be like dot 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 in the transcript. And some of them like it just deleted the sentence. Like it didn't even happen. And so like there's so much potential control, just about stuff that you don't really think about. I mean, hopefully people aren't saying things to each other
Right.
like that in meetings, so people haven't really noticed. But to put it through paces, it was really interesting. It would catch on to context and then stop transcribing if like something inappropriate was going on, which I'm sure is for legal reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't want that appearing or being trained into the model.
Yeah. But yes, I mean, when there is so much like outside control about what is even our concept of reality.
That is a pretty big question, and I think we talked a little bit about for who controls our concept of reality then if you're controlling the models, and it Sam Altman kind of said the it's ultimately up to him in a way.
What do we know about Sam Altman?
He's good at talking. Yeah,
I'm suspicious of him. Someday I'll just not be here. If I ever
it
disappear, it was Sam Altman.
was
He didn't
noted.
care about me.
Kind of also kind of terrifying given recent talks. but do we want to talk a little bit about that one podcast we listened to with Dr. Roman Yampolsky?
Yeah, I thought that
The
was really interesting.
was he the grandfather of AI security? He said he coined the term AI security or AI
Safety.
AI safety.
Safe AI.
Yeah. I don't know how
We
I feel
listened to a
about
podcast. Oh, go ahead.
I don't know how I feel about the Diary of a CEO podcast. Forgive me, that was like one of the first times I was listening to, but I've heard other people say similar things, like groan worthy about the podcast, but I don't know if that's because it's big.
I probably listened to five or six. I really like the host. He's really amiable. Not gonna lie, good looking. and he asks good questions. He doesn't really push people though, and he does have a lot of people on his show that are like a little out there. And so I never quite know what to expect. But then he has some very like normal people too. So I don't know. So when this guy came on, I was like, who's this?
The interview started off pretty strong. I thought it was interesting. It was somewhat nihilistic, but just about how, yeah, either we like prevent a super intelligence from existing, or, well, there's not much we can do about it, and we're all gonna be wiped off the face of the earth.
I mean, he's not wrong. Like, if we actually produced a super intelligence, like, we don't have control over it. That's kind of the point. And there's a lot of good things that could come of that, but there's also a lot of bad things. So I'll just continue to say that I hope our AI overlords are.
I do. I have umbrage with the name of the podcast. It said these five jobs won't exist in 2027, and they did not
name. Total clickbait.
They did not name what five jobs would still be there in 2027. So I don't know what job I'm supposed to do now because they lied to me.
AI safety person. So yeah. The point of the show, his thought is that he loves AI, but obviously if we have a super intelligence, it's not something we can control. So we should not be developing it. And I know he kind of pushed back against, because most people, when they talk about this, when I've seen tech people, they're like, well, but somebody else will develop it first.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, but what if we didn't? Like,
yeah, that was a good.
What if we just didn't?
He's really worried about the arms race we're in right now to be the first to develop it, because whoever develops it first, that's just kind of the end. Then should be focused on keeping people from developing it.
I really liked his point. They asked him why was that the most important thing. You know, why he says he gets asked, like, why aren't you focusing on things like climate change? Why aren't you focusing on you know, all of the other things, hunger, whatever. And he was like, but this is like the thing, like this would completely change everything.
Yeah.
And if, yeah, he's right.
Yeah. Cause if we can solve for this, all the other problems, well-guided artificial intelligence should be able to help us solve. But if we don't get it right, it could be more immediately disastrous than any of those things.
And he's not anti-AI at all. He thinks we should focus on developing what's called narrow AI, so AI that, you know, is focused on a specific task. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's better AI at the moment. Like, our general AI or wide AI or broad AI, however you want, however you hear it, like, it's kind of mediocre. Mm-hmm. But, you know, stuff that is actually beneficial and very good is usually, you know, very narrow. It's trained on very specific data to do a very specific thing. And, you know, like viewing images. I remember, gosh, it was pre-COVID, seeing a presentation by someone who was, they had computers that were hooked to trains and they like viewed the track and they were finding the places on like the track or places on the wheels where things needed to be repaired so the train wouldn't derail. And it was apparently very successful. And it used to be people like looking at pictures of things and it was much more real time.
Interesting. Oh, I didn't know about that. It's actually pretty cool. Yeah, it was, I agree with him too. I mean, the podcast seemed to get a little more unhinged, in my opinion, the longer it went on. It slightly turned into a Bitcoin ad at the end, which I got his point that Bitcoin is one of the few actual finite resources.
Is it so? Like, he could just mine another star, and I was like, okay.
Like,
we don't have that technology, but sure.
Not yet. But theoretically, Bitcoin, I mean, problems come with like quantum computing and whatever that happens, but like, it's also like we'll have a lot more problems when that happens. I don't know, it was kind of crazy. He apparently just changed the host views on religion all in one podcast.
I thought he was an incredibly effective, like, he argued well, because he basically equated like a super intelligence to a god, and he's like, hypothetically, yeah, like if there is something that knew everything and could fix every problem, it isn't really like conceptually different. And so then he like turned around and said, what is God really? And there's, religions all have like a similar theme. Not all of them, actually. I was sitting there thinking about like, what religions don't apply to this?
Yeah, I was like, he agreed with that a little too quick, but that's.
But it is true that broadly, a lot of them have like concept of, an afterlife. And I thought that was really interesting. It came out of a discussion of simulation theory about, we're in a simulation. I loved his argument that we were in a simulation because when creating a simulation was like fast and easy, he would create a billion simulations of that interview. And because that was going to happen, that is what had happened,
Yeah,
which
that
is
was interesting.
A really fun discussion of like, how time is like kind of a construct, and there's ways that it's real and ways that it's not. And
The weird part that got to me is like, yeah, you got to keep whoever is running it, the simulation and watching it. You got to keep your life interesting, otherwise they might pull the plug on the simulation. Which is like, well, his argument was like, you got to live an interesting life, so whoever is running the simulation doesn't just end the simulation.
am I doing well? Am I not doing well?
Yeah, it's an interesting philosophy to think about.
Wow, yes. And I liked his idea that he told the host, he's like, maybe you are the simulation, you're doing really well, you're rich, you're beautiful, I did really like his philosophy though, which is it's nihilistic, and admittedly, like I became sort of nihilistic during COVID. But he had kind of a cheerful nihilist thing going, which is like they kept asking, like, well, what does it matter? What should we do? And he was like, you shouldn't change anything. You should be living every day, to the fullest, basically, which is actually a fairly positive
Surprisingly not
philosophy.
nihilistic, because he's like, yeah, it might be the end in 2 years, but like then you should just make more of the time you have. So that's actually kind of interesting.
I mean, I thought that philosophically it was kind of positive, but yeah, a little bit. Got a little metaphysical at the end there.
Yeah, it was interesting. Ever
I
since
did
I
like,
oh God.
oh, I was gonna say, I really liked his point about how, like, if this is a simulation, then the way it is tells us something about the people running the simulation. Like, they must have equality, like inequality. They must have, all these negative things that we see in our world are being, if this is a simulation, are being copied here. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I like the podcast overall though. We should link to it in the show notes. It was a good watch. Except ever since I started watching it, I started getting recommended other Diary of a CEO videos, and I saw a clip from one where some guy said eating too much fruit was actually like killing you. So I don't know
I saw
about that
that
though.
on TikTok
Did
today.
you? Good.
One of
I'm
the
glad you
people I follow is a dietitian, and he was like, no.
So that popped up and I'm like, huh.
What is the standard to get on Diary of a CEO? Not all of these people are CEOs.
I think you just need to write a book that gets popular, right, or something, or at least have some sort of fame. So we should write a book.
Yeah, let's see if we can get on it. We'll find out.
So speaking of simulations and our need for data centers, we came across a news story about how, in general, electricity prices are starting to spike across the US, and that cost is being forwarded on to just you and me, general consumers. This one was specifically in North Carolina, I believe, about some sort of legislation passing that basically let the electric company pass on all the expenses from all the new data centers they're building there onto the general consumers from this I'm not sure if, I think it was a co-op.
And not, it wasn't fully, but it was the consumers
Partially.
paid significantly more than they were paying proportionally.
Yeah, and giving all the data centers kind of a break,
To
which
invite those data centers into the state to build.
Yes, it's and it makes sense, but it just sucks. I don't think people realize the actual power consumption cost that AI is having, like just how widely used ChatGPT is. Kind of a funny thing I saw on Twitter too. There's a reference to this is why your energy bill is going up 30%, and it was a picture of Meta's chat with a horse AI. So people can chat with a horse is why you can't afford your electric bill anymore.
So Boy Scouts with kitschy banners being able to afford heat.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that just by how bad I hear this winter's gonna be across the US. I wonder
Yeah.
if people are actually gonna have a hard time in certain states like affording to keep themselves warm this winter just because of the spike in electricity costs.
It is sort of amazing to me how. What happened? Okay, so I remember when we first started talking about data centers. I heard an argument that I haven't heard for a couple of years now, where they were going to take the energy that the data centers create, the heat, and like pipe that into people's homes, and actually like the data centers would heat cities. What happened to that?
That's a good
Was that a fever
question.
dream? Did I dream it?
No, I could have swore I heard someone say that, and that's why they wanted to build them here in North Dakota, is because
Remember hearing
the
that.
cooling efficiency of. I don't know what happened with that. I don't know if that was like a pipe dream promise to like calm people. It's not actually feasible or what. We should look into that more because you're right. I haven't heard that. And I also haven't heard like. Building it up here in the cold is actually that efficient at cooling either. I
Well,
don't think
yeah,
it.
because it's still going to get really locally hot, and
Yeah,
they're
you gotta
using a
pipe
lot
that
of
all in.
water.
Yeah, the water cost too is crazy.
Well, and the amount of water it's using, and I wonder how clean it is when it's done. Like a lot of industry, the way they use water, is because water, thanks to the fact that it's polar. A polar molecule is it extremely efficient at removing heat. It's why we sweat. It's how we keep our bodies cool. And so, like, if you have something like a nuclear reactor, there's a lot of different things that are machinery that get really hot. They just bring in a lot of water, and then they dump the water, which hopefully isn't like polluted. And a lot of people are like, it must not be polluted. The problem is that if you dump, they dump it and it's still hot. If you dump hot water into a stream, it kills everything. And it doesn't kill everything, then it causes different things to proliferate, like bacteria. Then you get something called eutrophication, which nobody showed up on this podcast to learn about. But anyway.
This is a learning podcast. We're here to learn about all sorts of things.
Random things we know about. So yeah, like it uses a lot of water locally too. And you know, what does that mean for
The
consumers of water?
yeah, the it it'll be interesting. I mean, you have to hit a certain point where it's going to start affecting the local population, just with the sheer amount of electricity and water they're using. Because what did it say? Like all the data centers are building in North Carolina, it'd require like millions of gallons of water. I don't know. I know what was the other news article? Amazon wanted to put $10 billion into North Carolina to push data centers. Did that one get shot down, I think? I think Amazon's suing North Carolina is what I remember from the
Yes, they were suing North Carolina because they said they couldn't put, apparently they have feel they have the right to build wherever they want.
I because I know Tennessee's another popular. That's where XAI has all their data centers is in Tennessee. So Tennessee, North Carolina, that seems to be a popular spot for putting data centers now. I don't know if it's just because they have cheap energy out there too, but I don't know. It
Well, it
sounds like it's
becomes
not
a.
sustainable.
I think the land's probably pretty cheap.
Well, yeah.
housing prices are lower in some of those areas, it becomes an environmental justice problem, which is something that is probably considered a woke phrase now, but was like a thing I learned about in a textbook that was written in like 1980 when I was in grad school. But, you know, we put on things that are unpleasant next to poor people and it sucks for them.
It seems like it's going to suck for a lot of people just with the AI data center boom. And it doesn't seem like that many tech CEOs are very concerned about how we get the energy or what we're doing to supply it. I mean,
if it's possible.
I hate keep going back to Sam Altman, but he's like, oh, don't worry, we'll figure out a way to get the energy we need.
Well, he seemed to think we were just going to cover the globe with tech centers.
Yeah, like, we'll just keep building and it'll be fine. And we'll figure out a way to supply it without blowing up the earth.
I mean, not even just the energy, but the resources that go into, like, the natural resources that go into building buildings and the things we destroy to put them up. It's, you know, they're on a scale that I don't think people fully understand.
I don't know, but I think if you make people choose between being able to chat with their horse or destroying a small town of 2,000 people, I think a lot of people need to chat with their therapist horse on Meta AI.
Make it more realistic, though, like chat with your family member, chat with, you know, we use the technology a lot.
Mm-hmm. But it's free, right? Like you just see free, but there is an actual cost and a human cost to this. And
it used to just be our information. Now it's society.
Yeah. And I never really thought about it from this angle till I started looking at the sheer volume of new data centers and the actual GPU compute needed to build and keep these models up. It's actually crazy. Just how much power it's consuming.
I think my concern is it a limiting factor too in what we can create? Because, I mean, we don't even understand how a super intelligence would actually be created. What that even means. We don't know if it's possible, but we're going to continue to just throw more and more and more energy at it. Cause you know, we're in a race to do it. Like, eventually we're going to like hit a plateau of energy we have available. That is not an infinite resource necessarily.
Yeah. It's like a race to do it before there's like an investor bubble like burst, like before investors start pulling out. It's like, you got to keep burning more and more to keep investors coming in. Cause I mean, we've already kind of seen it. It seems like it's hit like the compute is heading towards a plateau with how much we're getting with each generation. But as soon as that plateau starts to hit, investors are going to pull out and the whole thing just kind of crumbles. And then you have a bunch of abandoned data centers.
Hopefully if it's going to crumble, hopefully it crumbles before too much gets destroyed.
I was going to say there's a balance. I mean, I hope it doesn't crumble and I hope we can find a sustainable future to do it without causing people to go homeless because they can't pay their electric bill. Which is crazy that that's a seemingly very real possibility right now.
I guess we'll keep watch this winter time.
Yeah, I don't mean to scare people or like sound all doomsday, but it is something to keep in mind when you hear about more and more data centers being constructed.
Just mine Bitcoin. That's how Michael will be heating his home.
That's how I'm going to stay warm this winter. I do need to ask my parents. I want to go back and see the electric bill back when I was doing it in, I don't know, 2018, 2017, to see how much I actually raised their electric bill when I was doing it. Probably not too bad, but
it would have said something, right?
Yeah, I'm like, if it's really bad, I only had one computer doing it, so it wasn't like I was getting much, but I'm like, if it was too bad, they would have said something, so
Absolutely.
Not financial advice to get Bitcoin either, like the Diary of a CEO podcast. But we'll link to that in the show notes. Also link to the electricity price spike story as well. But I think that's all we had for this week. I want to thank everyone for joining.
Always a pleasure. We'll add, I'll also add a definition of eutrophication because I explained it poorly, but this is not a biology podcast. And I have not been in school in a while.
I would also like to know what that is. Be doing some
Let
light-eyed
you
reading.
borrow my ecology textbook.
I'm okay.
You're brushing your hair that night. Okay,
Yeah,
got
I'll just ask
it. Ah!
ChatGPT. All right. Thanks for joining, everyone, and we'll see you next
See you
time.
next time.
Bye.
Nailed it.
Your average podcast. News, tips, and deep thinking. From code to common ground, but your average podcast. We're freshly ice found, but your average podcast.
This episode of Bot Your Average Podcast was written, recorded, and produced by Jill Baber and Michael McCrory. Our theme music is original and lovingly bot-built.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are entirely our own and do not reflect the views of our employers, clients, or any organizations we are affiliated with, past, present, or future, AI overlords included.
Thanks for listening, and remember, think critically, question boldly, and don't be bot your average.
Nailed it.